How do you do? We like to think we're in charge of our lives, but misfortune comes to everyone, and the best laid plans often take an unexpected turn. The man in this story discovered that he could face change with a steadfast heart, because his life had purpose when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Stop talking about that man. Jews don't accept him.
They do, Dad. All of his first disciples were Jews.
You've joined Hitler?
No, I haven't, Dad.
You're just like the Nazis, and you know what they did to us.
Read what the Bible says about Jesus and you'll know the truth. He healed the blind and raised the dead.
I won't listen to you anymore. Get out of my house.
This is Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in history. True life stories of real people. Produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Since 1877, Pacific Garden Mission has been a light in the darkness for lost souls and homeless people in Chicago. Every day, hundreds of men, women, and children receive food, fresh clothing, and a bunk for the night, all without charge, thanks to friends who send financial gifts. Even medical and dental care is given to resident guests in the mission clinic. Transformation happens at the mission as pastors and counselors break the bread of life, feeding hungry souls. By the washing of regeneration, many receive new life. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3212 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Your dad quit speaking to you?
Man, that's tough.
Yeah, but that's not the worst of it. After I was baptized, Dad called my pastor and threatened to kill him for misleading me.
Your dad was just upset. I know him.
First, my girlfriend's parents threatened to kill me. Now this. I've about had it with all that's going on in my life. I've got to do something. Get away.
Surely you knew this would happen, Gary.
No, I didn't. But even if I had known, I wouldn't have done any differently. My salvation means everything to me.
Even though it means losing family and friends?
Are you going to stop speaking to me too?
No, but don't try to convert me.
I have to speak the truth that's in my heart. Biblical truth is convicting.
What about your mother?
She's still speaking to me.
Why don't you stop this, Gary? You see how upset your father is.
I can't turn my back on the Lord, Mother. He gave his life for me.
My son, what has happened to you?
I want to tell you something, Mother, and you can tell Dad if he cares. I'm going to join the Army. Get away from here for a while.
The Army? What about your job teaching chemistry?
It can wait.
The man in our story was 23 years old when he joined the U.S. Army, sending his life in a new direction. This is the conclusion of the true testimony of Gary Cohen, right now on Unshackled.
I didn't realize that as a college graduate, I could have gone to officer candidate school and joined the Army as an officer instead of a private. A friend and I signed up together and went through basic training in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and then to the snow of Fort Carson, Colorado. Camping in the snow of Colorado as an artillery cannoneer was hard, but I stayed on active duty for 2 years and then transferred to the reserves. Back home, I attended seminary in North Philadelphia and also taught physics part-time at a Christian college in northern New Jersey. The summer I was 25, I was part of a gospel team that went to Glendale, California, where I met Marion, whose father was the pastor of the church where we ministered.
So, you're a seminary student, Gary?
Yes.
Your gospel team has been very effective. Your testimony stirred the congregation.
I'm glad to hear that.
They haven't met many Jews who believe in Jesus.
And most Jews have not met real believers, Marion. I grew up thinking the worst about Christians.
So you said in your testimony.
Every day, I came home bloody from fighting gangs of kids who hated Jews.
I never realized that went on in this country.
Well, people seem to hate anyone who is different. But fighting bullies prepared me for life's battle. When I was in Fort Smith, Arkansas, I was among the soldiers that enforced the federal law.
Oh, yes, the first black students admitted into public high school.
Prejudice and persecution won't end until Jesus returns to the earth. Even when I was working in the post office at Christmas time, I was 18, some guy tried to pick a fight with me because I was Jewish.
Real Christians love the Jews, Gary.
I know that. The people in my church in Philadelphia are wonderful.
I'm glad I happened to be here at this time to meet you.
You don't live here, Marion?
No, I grew up in Buffalo and stayed when my parents moved here. So now I'm trying to decide if I want to stay there and keep teaching or move here to be with my parents.
You teach?
Third grade.
Yeah, I think you should move to Philadelphia so I can see more of you. I was in Glendale only 9 days, but at the end of that time, Marion and I were engaged. We set our wedding for December in her father's church in Glendale. Since I was an only child, my father had resumed speaking to me as long as I didn't talk about religion. We had a cousin's club, a family gathering that was special to me.
Hello?
Hey, Dad. How are you and Mother doing?
Fine. Are you coming to the cousin's club this weekend, Gary?
Wouldn't miss it, Dad.
Yeah,
I called to tell you I'm getting married in December to a girl I met when I was in California.
Is she Jewish?
No, but she loves the Lord. She's a teacher, a minister's daughter.
She's not Jewish? Your mother and I will not come.
My parents' absence at our wedding didn't create a stir because of the distance. Marion's father and her older brother, who was also a minister, performed the ceremony. We honeymooned in Santa Barbara and then traveled back to Philadelphia by train.
Do you think your parents will ever accept me, Gary?
In time. I'm an only child, so it's not like they have alternatives.
Maybe when we have children.
Yeah. Mother and Dad will love their grandchildren.
I can understand their reluctance to accept me. They've had some bad experiences, especially your dad, before he came to America.
But God tells us to love one another.
Does Judaism teach that too?
Leviticus chapter 19. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. I am the Lord.
Thy people. What about other people?
In the beginning, God created one man and one woman, so we are all of the same origin. And this scripture applies to Jews and Gentiles.
You're right, Gary.
I continued teaching part-time, attended seminary, and was in the Army Reserves. During war game maneuvers one year, a young soldier jumped out from behind some bushes and shot me with mock bullets.
That's it. You're dead, buddy. Don't move.
I don't much like this. Maybe I was just wounded.
I don't think so. I think you're dead. I'm the enemy, see?
If I'm dead, I didn't expect heaven to be like this.
Who said you were in heaven? You're in enemy's hands.
No way! I left the enemy's hands when I was saved.
Nobody saved you. You've been shot.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Eternal life. I know for sure that I'll be in heaven when I die. Do you have that assurance?
You're trying to mess with my head.
No, I'm talking about knowing the Lord, Bill.
What do you mean, knowing the Lord?
Go with me to a meeting tonight, and I'll introduce you to someone who offers new life and the assurance of eternal life. There's a saying, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Bill went with me to hear an evangelist that night and went forward to profess faith in Christ. 2 years after Marion and I were married, our first daughter was born, and my parents were elated. After I finished seminary, we moved to Winona Lake, Indiana, where I got my doctoral degree in theology. Then I taught at a seminary in Pennsylvania. When we visited Philadelphia, we saw my relatives at a gathering of the Cousins Club.
My son, the doctor.
Of theology, Dad.
Are you still in the Army, Gary?
Yes, Mother. And the good news is I've gained a commission in the Army Reserves. I'm an officer now.
An officer?
Yeah, I'm a first lieutenant on my way to chaplain school.
That's wonderful.
I'm really looking forward to sharing God's love with soldiers. It's amazing how many of them don't know the Lord, how he gave his only son for us.
No, don't talk religion here, Gary.
Dad always reacted that way. But I was beginning a whole new chapter in my life when I went to chaplain school. The officer's basic course had a class of hundreds of chaplains, and the Army professor at one class was a major and a chaplain. He ended the class with a joke that ended in taking the Lord's name in vain. While everyone laughed, I raised my hand. With all due respect, Major, I think that was an improper joke to tell here. This is a mandatory class of chaplains, and the Lord is holy, not an object of frivolity. I could not let my Savior be made a public joke, especially among chaplains. Jesus had endured enough shame and mockery on the cross. But my career as an officer and a chaplain was on the line. For a lower grade officer to rebuke a superior in public was professional suicide. After class, the other chaplains surrounded me, many of them angry.
No. Who do you think you are? He was just trying to put everyone else at ease telling that joke.
It's wrong to take the name of the Lord in vain, especially among chaplains. What kind of example is that?
In a moment, we'll hear more about Gary's courageous stand. Unshackled is a wonderful blessing and a great way to lead people to the Lord. That's one of hundreds of emails we receive here at Pacific Garden Mission. Others read, "We love you guys and pray that many more are saved through your ministry." A pastor writes about a parishioner who was saved listening to our broadcast. He says, "Thank you for your ministry that is touching hearts and lives for the glory of God." A woman writes, "I have felt worthless for a long time, but I am encouraged when I listen to the testimonies on Unshackled." A teenager writes, "You guys are awesome." Another man says, "I know the slavery of addiction, and listening to your program helps me cope." A new believer writes, "Through your broadcasts, I am encouraged to tell more people about the gospel." A radio station manager had this email from a listener. "Because of Unshackled, my 15-year-old brother and my 9-year-old sister got saved." This man writes, "I have been listening to Unshackled's true stories, which broadcast to people with broken hearts like me." And a university student writes, "Thanks for Unshackled, because I wouldn't have truly known who Jesus Christ was if it wasn't for your efforts. And I got saved after listening to your programs for a week." Unshackled reaches people of all ages and from all different backgrounds, like this child who writes, "I am 9 years old, and I love to listen to Unshackled every day, sometimes even twice a day." Or this individual who writes, "I have recently been disabled, and I rest at home most of the time, a lifestyle very foreign to me. I always listen to Unshackled. It encourages me, so I want to encourage you to continue your program." Another man writes us saying, "I'm a trucker who travels over the road for usually a week or so at a time. I am fortunate often to be able to scan the dial and locate some Christian programming, and when I do, I look forward to Unshackled. It reminds me of my sin and need for the Savior. I am a believer, but struggle with a lot of issues common to men and this industry. Keep up God's work." That's just what we desire to do. Through the prayerful support of our friends, we hope to continue the great tradition of Unshackled, as one radio network manager stated, for years to come. Tell others about us, and let us hear from you today. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Some of the chaplains hugged me and said I did the right thing, standing up to the professor who denigrated Jesus. I expected repercussions, but none came. And I finished chaplain school in 1964, the same year our second daughter was born. Those were years of turmoil in the courts because of civil rights and challenges to the U.S. Constitution.
It's quite an honor to be called to testify in Senate hearings, Gary. Are you prepared?
I've put on the full armor of God.
Oh, you'll need it. The trend is not good for people of faith.
If we take the Bible and prayer out of schools, children will grow up without accountability to God, because many of them don't even go to church and don't know the Lord. I see the effect of it in young soldiers.
It's so sad. Our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs.
You know something? I've never met a soldier who refused my offer to pray for him. We all need prayer.
Do you know what you plan to say at the hearing?
I'll follow the advice of the Lord Jesus that he gave in Luke chapter 12. He said, when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Through testifying in various religious freedom cases in court, I came to see the importance of testifying for religious freedom and godly principles in the courts. During that time, Bob McGill, a friend who had become a foreign missionary, came to see me while he was home.
So you're a major in the reserves now, huh, Gary?
Yeah. Did I tell you how I saved the brigade commander's life?
No. What happened?
During the riots in the 60s, somebody threw something and I stepped in front of him. He said it could have been a grenade, but it turned out to be an egg.
Ruined your uniform, huh?
Yeah, but not my reputation. He was very grateful, and I ride in his Jeep during parades now.
I wish I had a uniform to ruin. My clothes were damaged in shipment. I don't even have a suit to wear.
We're about the same size, Bob. I'll give you one of mine.
Oh, I don't want to take your suit, Gary.
Remember what Jesus said about the lilies of the field?
They neither toil nor spin, yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
God knows and provides our needs.
I still don't want to take your suit.
I have three, so it's not a problem.
Oh, the word of God covers everything, including a suit for me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Soon after that, another friend came home from the mission field without a suit, so I gave him one of mine, leaving me one suit. But God always provides for his children. He gave us a son in 1968, the same year our daughters began performing in children's programs at church. My parents came to see them.
The girls were very cute.
Dad, I didn't see you come in.
I didn't come in the front door. I came in the side door.
At least we came.
We're glad to see you. So, what do you think about it all?
Some people I don't even know hugged me. I told them I was a Jew, and they said Jews are special people to them.
It's true. I hope you come back again.
I only came to see the girls sing. I'm not Meshumat.
Jesus loves you regardless, Dad. I advanced in rank in the Army Reserves, pinning on major's leaves while still teaching the Bible in Christian colleges. I'd been following the Lord for 20 years when my mother became ill.
Hello, Gary.
How are you, Mother?
Fine, son. Your father said you were traveling.
Yeah, I was in Seattle testifying in court.
What about?
A landmark case on church versus state laws.
It's good work you're doing, Gary.
The government cannot dictate our faith. That was never the purpose of the original signers.
No. Thank God this is a free country.
Mother, I wish you would let me talk to you about Jesus.
That's all I've heard since I came here.
What do you mean?
The woman in the next bed, she's like you. A Jew who believes in Jesus too. All she talks about is Yeshua, how he saved her, how he raised the dead. So she's ready to die and go to heaven to see him.
Praise God! He answered my prayers and arranged this.
That's what she says.
The prophet Jeremiah said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end."
An expected end? You mean heaven?
Yes. So, you understand God's love demonstrated by Jesus' death?
Yes, I do, Gary. You were right all along.
Have you told Dad?
No, but I'm sorry I waited so long.
Let me read some scripture to you, Mother.
I'd like that.
Although Mother professed faith in Christ before she died, Dad was adamantly opposed to the gospel. Anytime I tried to talk about the Bible or the Lord, he shouted, "No religion, no religion," and no intelligent discussion ever occurred. But as our children grew, he kept coming to church to see them in children's programs. He still refused to come in the front door, however. Out of the blue, Dad remarried.
Gary, where did these suits come from?
Remember I told you about Dad's new wife? Her son is a tailor.
He made these?
Yeah. He took my measurements and made all four suits.
Four new suits? That's amazing.
The word of God is amazing. I gave away 2 suits, and the Lord doubled my gift.
Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom.
You can't outgive the Lord.
I told you about the Jewish girl I dated. Her parents broke up our relationship because they said I would never earn enough as a teacher to buy her nice clothing.
They didn't realize that your Father in heaven owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills.
My years serving as an officer in the reserves were like a foretaste of heaven to me. I loved my fellow officers, and my commanders treated me well. As the years passed, I rose to the rank of lieutenant colonel and then colonel, still as a chaplain. This is Gary.
Gary, this is your Aunt Isabel in California.
Aunt Isabel, how nice to hear from you.
Are you still a preacher?
I'm still a chaplain, and I get to preach on a radio program now.
You won't believe what happened to me.
What?
I got saved.
So, you believe that Jesus is the Messiah?
Yes. I listened to a preacher on television, and it all made sense.
Praise the Lord. I've prayed for you, Aunt Isabel.
Remember how I took you to that big rabbi trying to get you to renounce your faith?
Yes, I remember.
Now I know why you didn't. Once you receive God's Spirit, there's no going back. Your cousin Honey has also come to believe in Jesus.
My father never came to a Sunday morning service, but he came in the evening to hear the children recite scripture. As he saw and experienced the love of the parishioners, he began to soften toward our faith. He still didn't want me to talk about Jesus to him, but one time we all gathered for our cousin's club, and the radio was on.
Hey, everybody. Gary's on the radio. Let's listen to him. Shh, everybody, be quiet so I can hear Gary.
The prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Now that speaks of the coming of Messiah, and Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. The good tidings are God's forgiveness of our sins and his offer of eternal life. Ezekiel chapter 18 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And the psalmist wrote, "My sin is ever before me." But God says in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall shew judgment to the Gentiles." Unless you believe that Jesus died for your sins, you must pay for them yourself, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I know that my father heard the gospel that day. He died a few weeks later. I had served as an officer in the Army for 30 years and had been through military schools, including the Air Force War College, when the personnel officer interviewed me for promotion to general.
How did it go today?
Well, they're having a reduction in forces.
Does that affect you?
When the personnel guy asked me how long I'd been in the Army, and I said 35 years, he said, "Colonel, they won't even open your folder. You're out."
Well, it's been a good career. It's time to retire from the Army.
I'll miss counseling and praying with the soldiers.
You have a busy schedule as it is, Gary.
Yeah. I've been asked to write a commentary on the book of Revelation.
Wonderful. And you teach biblical languages, so that'll help.
Definitely. I've also been asked to write articles for the theological word book of the Old Testament.
Sounds like you have your work cut out for you for years to come.
My academic career flourished with the publication of many of my books and articles that presented the foundations of the Old and New Testament. I served as president of a Bible college in Tennessee and continued to teach in Bible college when we moved to Miami. I designed the prototype City of Jerusalem model that was built in Orlando. Because of my help training Korean pastors at a seminary in Los Angeles, my books were translated into Korean, and the Koreans invited me to teach in Seoul, then in Busan. Marion went with me when they honored us at a large church. They sat us at the front of the church while each family came up and left bunches of flowers around us.
Thank you. How kind. Thank you. What a lovely gesture that was, surrounding us with flowers. Oh,
Marion, I thought of a biblical passage in Zechariah during the celebration.
What does it say?
It's in chapter 8. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you."
It's all so amazing, Gary.
God is amazing, Marion. Through the years, Marion and I have been privileged to travel to China, Malaysia, Greece, Europe, Australia, and South America. We love sharing the good news of God's love and grace. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Listening friend, we hope Gary's testimony has encouraged you. The Bible says in Psalm 34, "They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Is that you? 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 proclaims, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." If you need help in making this pivotal turn in your life, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. "I hope your program never goes off the air," a listener emailed us. We hope the same. So please ask the manager of this station to keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3212. Heard in part 2 of the true story of Gary Cohen, were Howard Friedland, Fred Stone, Tom Geitch, Marcy Mencotti, Nancy Sellers, and Tim Frank. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Tim Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please let us know that you look forward to hearing these true dramas. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Discouraged? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.